KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Blew in with the wind.
Oh, I tell you what, doesn't it feel like fallout today?
Oh, it's beautiful. I love a little bit of crisp in the air. My daughter's like, it's not even 50 degrees. I'm going, perfect.
I got up and grabbed my gun, then I realized I got to go to work today.
We're going to head to, speaking of guns, following Nate Cirillo, we're going to head to Lake of the Woods and get a day two update from Chip Lear.
That could be an interesting update considering that lake.
I did get to watch a little bit of the last few guys that weighed in yesterday, and 15 guys caught a big fish. They've separated themselves for today. Anyway, South Dakota Pheasant Acres down at Platte, South Dakota, they've got a group of dogs. And if guys show up in the fall and these dogs are out of shape, we got a problem.
That's right. There's nothing better than a good hunting dog, and there's nothing worse than a bad hunting dog.
Well, and we even have a bigger problem if we're out of shape.
Well, that's why I need a really good hunting dog. But we've got Nate Cirillo, who's the trainer for South Dakota Pheasant Acres, on the phone to talk to us a little bit about how you can get your fat body and your dog's fat body into shape in this last month and a half. Nate?
Hey, guys. Good. How's it going?
Good morning. Were we correct, South Dakota Pheasant Acres?
Yes, sir. It's actually Armour, South Dakota.
We're in Armour. Rural that is Armour. Even better.
Where they make the hot dogs.
Yeah. Wasn't it?
Isn't that where they make the Armour hot dogs, or is that somewhere else?
I'm not sure about that, actually.
There's got to be a hot dog killing plant somewhere there.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I would like to have an Armour. Oh, no, that's Oscar Mayer.
Oscar Mayer. Good God. What do we do? You know, I was
O-S-C-A-R.
That's hot dogs, Armour hot dogs.
Okay. All right.
What can I do if my dog has been eating ice cream with me all summer long to get him in shape here?
Yeah, right around the corner. So I'm sure the dog has been getting a little lazy in the off season, just like you have. But the problem is it's pretty warm, you know, leading up to the opener. Yeah. So a good thing is to get outside if you got access to water. Is start with water work. It's low impact on the joint. Good exercise. You can start with water work. Work off some of that off-season weight, and then start moving. You know, to the field, taking them on walks. When it's cool, though, you know, getting them running mornings and nights. Usually, when I try to get out, start getting them running, and then I'll move into running them with a four-wheeler or a side-by-side. Really start conditioning them and toughening up those paws because you don't want injuries in the field on the first day.
Right on.
And once they start once they start running, getting into shape, I really like to start going on walks and running with a purpose. If that makes sense. You're getting out there, you're walking behind them, getting yourself in shape as well. And kind of getting them to run for you, start reinforcing things like the obedience. Stuff that you and they've kind of been slacking during the off season. So be it if you're working with a whistle, if you're collar training, getting them to really start remembering what they're supposed to do. If that makes sense.
That makes sense to me. I mean, that's kind of, I need to get out and do some walking, and the dog running down the side of the road doesn't do a lot of good, but if you get them walking with a little purpose and have a reason to be out in the field, maybe they'll turn around a little bit for you.
No, absolutely. And I mean, they're an athlete, just like any other pro athlete in the offseason. You got to get them back into shape. One of the worst things you can do is take them from the couch, like you were saying, and throw them in the field. That's where you'll get injuries, and you can't expect them to be a peak performance. You'll have a pretty bad opening day. You're both out of shape and won't last very long.
Yeah, especially if it's a little extra warm and they're laying in the middle of a cornfield or a slough half dead.
Yeah.
Of a heat stroke.
Oh, absolutely. And the grass, you know, that tall grass and those sloughs and stuff, they can actually trap more heat on a warm day. So it could be, you know, anywhere 10 to 20 degrees warmer down where the dog is. And we don't realize that often. So Yeah, to be hard on them.
That's kind of like where we come back and we start thinking about training the human. You know, it's like, come on, guys. I mean, let's straighten our noggins out first. The saying goes, the human's the one that needs to be trained first before the dog, and then we'll see how good the dog is. It's kind of a reflection.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're kind of a team out there, and you want to hold up your end. Once your dog's in shape, you want to be able to keep up and hunt as long as they're willing to go, and they're trying hard for you, so you got to try hard for them.
Gabe Ohm just chimed in. He's doing some work that's really, really cool work out in Montana, Western Montana, where they bring in people for a little bit of a – and so I want to just throw a quick shout-out not only to you because you're involved in knowing where a lot of startup dogs are, but what he does out in Montana is he works as a guide in the summer, and then in the fall they bring people in to just have a week of rehab to get away from things in life that and mostly people in the pastoral business and people that are so I wanted to put a quick shout out. Gabe was had texted me earlier this week looking for a starter dog so that they could add to what they had out there. So South Dakota Pheasant Acres, know someone or anyone else listening, Gabe would like to find. Yeah, it's getting late in the season, so it needs to be a good startup. But, if anyone knows, go ahead, Nate.
There's some guys that work with us that are also dog trainers, and they raise English Springers and French Brittany's at Terry and Tracy Jacobson, a 10-bar ranch out of Lake Andy, South Dakota. You can find them. They got a Facebook page at 10-bar ranch. And, they got great hunting dogs, and he's usually got a couple started dogs.
Yeah, so Gabriel Ohm is can be found on Facebook, and he would love to find something to add to their small fleet of dogs right now. They must have a few rehab assignments to happen, and they don't call it rehab. I mean, it's just basically good opportunity for people to get away. We interviewed him a couple weeks ago. So anyway, Nate, go ahead.
What do you do, Nate, when you get out on the field? You know, you got a whole stable of dogs that you could turn into them hunting machines. How long do you run them before you give them a break?
Well, I mean, that all depends on the weather and the condition they're in. You know, starting slow. Usually, like I said, start with water work, getting them swimming, tossing a bumper or whatever, and then take them out doing a good mile, working up to 2, 3, 4 miles. And again, this is where you got to train yourself, like you guys were saying, train yourself to be aware of your dog, watch the signs of your dog. If they're getting hot, you know, they start swaying or something, you don't want to give them heat stroke because once they get it once and go down, they're susceptible. Right. You know, the rest of their life. So it's really paying attention to your dog and, just watching the signs and working up slowly. Don't expect them to go run 10 miles for you without having trained for it.
When do you guys start your hunt? Oh, go ahead.
I was saying, once you start getting that running with a purpose and they're running hard, I'm lucky here at being a preserve and all, we're able to start running in September 1st if we want. We usually don't start close until October, but I like to get them on birds and, running them behind birds, working on the recall, and just getting their nose working again. And if anybody's got access to private land or if you're running on public, you have to wait till, I believe, after July 31st to be able, or July 30th, I should say, to be able to start running dogs and trying to get them finding birds.
Oh, they don't want them picking up on those young ones.
Yeah, get them out of the nest.
I did not know that.
If you ever go out there with the dog in June, you'll learn.
you can find out the hard way.
exactly, Nate. Oh, gosh.
Well cool, Nate.
Nate, South Dakota Pheasant Acres, I have a hunch that back in the 80s, I spent a little time. Is that the... is that the one Doc Monfort started back in the early 80s?
Back in the day.
Yeah, 1980, one of the first preserves in the state, Doc Monfort, and he's still around. He's still here.
Is he?
And it's unburied. Yeah, and it's probably growing since you were last year in the 80s. So it's a beautiful country. It's built for pheasants and all kinds of wildlife. There's big deer. It's beautiful out here.
They got a beautiful new lodge after a really bad fire.
Yes, I heard that. So things have changed a little bit since I was there, but
it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I just remember the landscape was incredible for pheasant habitat. It's been going.
Yeah, the habitat's great. It's looking good this year. Numbers being up. The weather's been completely opposite from last year, and they're staying up 47%, I believe. And the road surveys look good and everything. So there's a lot of birds, a lot of good hunting around here. It's great to see some people out here.
It's a fantastic outlook we have coming for this year. I don't think the birds made it to their 10-year average yet, because we had one of those years last year. The last couple of years have been going down awfully fast. So they needed a little bit of a comeback, Nate.
Ours in Connecticut coming up 100% because I've seen two.
Yeah. No, it's looking good. It's going to be a good year. So get those dogs in shape.
And I talked to the manager yesterday there, who I know pretty well, and he said that they still have some day hunts available, but believe it or not, their overnight hunts are almost filled for the season.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, almost filled up. Call got different kinds of packages and the later season day hunts, and there's plenty of birds, so don't feel like if you're coming late season, you're not going to see any.
Nate, will they take reservations yet for next year? Because some of us just may need to wait a year.
Yeah, absolutely. If you call Marty Jensen here at South Dakota Pheasant Acres and talk to him, he'll work with you on setting up days and setting up what kind of package that you're looking for. So he's good to work with, and he'll work with you.
Well, I don't know about good to work with, but his number is 605-850-3000.
I'd much rather hunt.
Yeah, I believe you know him fairly well, huh?
Yeah, I know him pretty well.
Day than overnight. I don't want to hunt at night. I'd rather hunt during the day myself.
You want day hunts? No night hunts.
I'll take a day hunt.
Yeah, you don't want those night hunts?
Those overnight ones are tough.
Randy's been snipe hunting a few too many times.
Actually, I just got done fishing over at Casey's Slough. It was pretty easy. Anyways.
Oh, was it? Did you go on the shores?
Yeah, I just picked them all up.
Oh, those poor fish didn't survive a little bloom, huh? Mm-mm. Well, Nate, Armour, South Dakota is where we're coming from this morning. Having a little chat about training the dogs for the upcoming year. Any last parting shots? We got the phone number in there. We got location. We just want everybody across the country to know that South Dakota is the capital of the world to chase that ringneck pheasant. And for those of us that just don't have the cha-ching to do a 3-night stay or something, you know, we've got a lot of opportunities out here. With public land, even some of us locals like to chase them on public land. They can get pretty skittish towards the end of the year.
And so those day hunts down there at South Dakota Pheasant Acres, they're reasonable and they're a lot of fun.
Well, there's a lot of other places to stay if you want to go for a day.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Drive back and stay at Lynn's house, you know.
Got
it open. You could bring your dog, or we have dogs if you guys were staying.
You wouldn't want me to bring my dog unless you have a lot of treats.
You wouldn't want to bring Neil.
You just wouldn't want to bring Neil, period.
You wouldn't
want to
bring Neil unless you have a lot of treats.
Neil and my dog need treats.
Yeah. I think Neil fishing and he's got four little Debbie boxes of cakes in the boat. And he goes and he says, "Would you like one?" Then he took a bite out of it.
All right, Nate. Thanks a ton.
Thanks much, Nate.
We will see you down the road. Take care. All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. That was a real cool little pheasant update. And
sorry, I'm late, man.
Dog, what have you been doing?
I overslept.
Then you stopped to fish at Casey's.
Then I stopped over to Casey's, picked up a few carp to smoke.
For those that...
Actually, you like my new hairdo? There's three hairdos in this world.
There is.
Straight, wavy, and I got the new one, homeless.
we're gonna be heading to Chip Lear here in
Lake of the Woods.
Lake of the Woods.
If you got a dog, you better get your dog running.
You better get that dog running. Get him on some gravel.
Run him up to Lake of the Woods and back.
Yeah, yeah. Get him on the Lake of the Woods.
Every time my dog runs, he stops about every 3 feet just to crap.
You know the pet.
I'm not so sure.
That smells good, doesn't it? We can say that here. We don't have any rules.
No rules here.
But get the pads of their feet going too. I mean, don't just run them in grass. They need to toughen up those.
You
feet.
Like that dog? You got to get him running. You're gonna.
You're gonna enjoy their dog. We're gonna Real quick update here from, we have 5 minutes, so it's not that quick.
That's right.
We have Chip Lear on the line. Good morning, Chip, from Lake of the Woods Hello, National Walleye Tour.
All right.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes.
How's Chip this morning?
I'm doing great. It's a little nippy here. We woke up to just over freezing, about 35 degrees here in Bidette, Minnesota. But eventually it's going to warm up and heat up, and hopefully the fishing does too.
Well, if you don't watch out, you might find Dave Gens up there. He's probably wanting ice fish if it's close to 32.
Yeah, I think he starts warming up his auger right about now.
Well, day one is in the books from National Walleye Tour Championship. There's a lot of... fun little insiders here because we have a team of the year racers. Chip, give us what's happening right now.
Well, we got a lot of things going on. Obviously, this is our only 3-day event of the season, and today is our cut day. So, coming into this event, we had a very tight angler of the year race, and it's getting tighter as we go on. Just overall tournament update. We had 71 teams made it, or 71 pros and 71 co-anglers made it to the championship. We've got Robert Blosser leading the pack with 17.75 pounds. Now, there's a closed slot between 19.5 and 28 inches, which is the real gig here. And 14 overs were caught, over 28 inches were caught yesterday. You can only bring one 28-inch plus fish to the scale. A couple guys caught a couple, but... with that, there was 14 brought to the scale, which is the real wild card inside this group. So about 20% of the field on average catches a 28-inch plus fish and can bring it to the scales in September historically on this body of water. So today, who knows what it's going to bring. Obviously, everybody's trying to make the top 10 because that's what the cut is. Top 10 fish tomorrow on Championship Friday. Everybody else, unfortunately, has to go home. But Robert Blosser, Michael Olson, just 4/100ths apart. Then South Dakota's Rick Olson, who's fishing his last National Walleye Tour event, claims he's retiring after this one.
Way to go, Ole! Way to go, Ole!
Exactly. 17.5 pounds for him. So he's right inside the mix. Lots of guys. The North Dakota's Jim Carroll's there. Ed Stahusky's in sixth. Chris Gilman, another gentleman that's won championships before. He's in ninth. It's a really good event. In fact, it's really anybody's due to the fact that if you bring in an over a 28-incher, you can jump up from 20th place and find yourself there. So it's going to be really interesting to see what that cut number is and who gets to fish tomorrow. Now, Angler of the Year race really went topsy-turvy on us. Now, I'll rip you through where we're at. Brett King took over the lead after yesterday with 742 points, followed by Tommy Kimos and Joe Okada, who was leading coming into this event, now is in third. North Dakota's Jim Carroll's in fourth, and Tom Keenan in fifth. That's the top five. But what's interesting here is that we've never had in our Angler of the Year race, the Anglers of the Year, none of them have ever made the top 10 in the championship. So depending on how this plays out, and who gets overs and who doesn't, because Brett King's right in the hunt there. And we don't know who's going to end up being able to fish tomorrow, and that's what really is going to make this thing a lot of fun. It's anybody's shot. I don't know if I've ever gone into a second day of an event, especially when there's a goal of making the top 10, where it is so indecisive as what we have here today. It's really, really a fun event.
Well, our interview from a couple weeks ago, Jim Carroll in fourth place, he's in the top 10 right now. If those other three slip at all that came in the top three, does he have room to still win this?
Absolutely he does. I mean, he's going to have to do pretty well. I mean, I think he's because he's only 12 points out. So, you know, he's got to beat, obviously, everybody in front of him. In most particular, he's got to beat King by, you know, obviously he's got to be 12 spots ahead of Brett King, and and 13 spots ahead of Tommy Kimo. So we'll see how this thing all plays out. I would not go far away. If you're a walleye fan and interested in following that end of it, today's weigh on the NationalWalleyeTour.com or our Facebook live feed will be really fun to watch because it's going to bounce all over the map. Wow. Plus, we're learning a lot about fishing. I mean, Lake of the Woods is shining. It's a great fishery, and got most of the guys are catching between 25 and 50 fish a day. Obviously, you can't weigh them all and bring them all in because it's a closed slot, but the fishing here is absolutely stupendous.
That would be a angler's paradise to head up there and catch 24, 25, 23, 27, 27 and a half. Other than the wind, it's not that tough of fishing. I mean, you throw some lead core on, one rod is all you need, and put some big crankbaits on and rock and roll. But we'll know more in the next couple of days about what they're using and what they're doing, but a little bit of lead core, a little bit of snap weight,
and
probably
a lot of gas. I bet they're burning some gas.
You know, you're going out of Baudette. They're probably not having to run too far.
20 miles to the reefs, maybe at most.
And they're not fishing mostly the reefs. They're mostly fishing the mud, I would guess. So
I would guess this time of year.
And slots, though. Hold on. You're right, Randy. They're probably doing a little of that. So that's going to be fun, Chip. We'll tune in today starting at, what, 3 o'clock?
Yeah, 3 o'clock Central Time, we kick things off, and you guys hit it right on the right on the head there. Like Drake Hurd from Alexandria had the largest limit of slots. I think they were 1173 for his 5. So it gives you an idea of what the under 19.5 sizes can be. You add one big fish to that mix, and oh, my word, do things change.
Yeah, 20-pound bag. Easy.
Yeah, that'll be good. So 3 o'clock today, top 10 tomorrow. We'll be watching, Chip. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chip. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day, gentlemen.
You bet.
Thanks, Chip.
Good. We got to go around the country here a little bit today. Some hunting and some fishing.
Armor to Baudette.
Yes.
And everywhere in between.
Now maybe we can find some time to do that someday.
There we go.
Yeah, give it another 10 years.
I just got to get out of bed earlier. Overslept.
Yeah. Waking up at 4:30, you get a lot more done, Randy.
Overslept.
You probably went to bed at 4:30. Well, for another week of On the Water in the Air, we'll send this right on over to our famous board guy, Randy Grimes. Whoops, give him
a microphone.
All right, take care, everyone.
Mics.